Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Human Rights Demand. Thank you for joining us today. This is Mary Neal. I direct Human Rights Demand, also assistance to the incarcerated mentally ill, as well as Human Rights for Prisoners March. And I want to let you know that we're so pleased that you joined us today here at Human Rights Demand. I'm going to let you know that we had planned to present to you the family of a young man who's incarcerated in Texas on a 40-year sentence because he killed a police officer. He was incarcerated for 14 days on a DUI charge. His medicines were withheld from him during the entire 14 days. After the 14 days were over, unfortunately, he got into an altercation with the jailers. He was beaten so badly that he was taken to the hospital and treated, and then he was released in a psychiatric crisis. His name is, I'll get his name for you. It's kind of difficult for me because he's a Latino young man, and I'm not used to pronouncing those names. However, I have a great love for everyone, no matter what race or creed or color, and I have love for justice. Mary Loves Justice is the name I use online because it is a very true statement, and I believe my listeners also love justice, and you can see how unjust it is to keep a person with schizophrenia incarcerated for 14 days while his condition deteriorates and then to beat him soundly on the last day, then release him in a psychiatric crisis. This time, that type of abuse wound up being used against police because the man that Sergio killed, his name is Sergio, the man that Sergio killed within 13 hours of jail release was a police officer. I want to turn you back over to Nina Simone. Thank you. was Nina Simone singing from She Wished She Could Be Free. You know, everybody in prison probably has that same wish. They wish they could be free. We know that mental illness is sometimes a chronic ailment, and that everyone with mental illness, especially severe mental illness, cannot be free. They need, some of them, an environment of control. However, Sergio was living fine as a free man with mental illness. He had not had a crisis in about 3 years. He was going to barbering school. He had a lovely lady in his life and a new baby, about 9 months old. When he was arrested for DUI. DUI is not necessarily related to mental illness. People who are perfectly well mentally get DUIs. Sergio was sentenced to jail for 14 days for his DUI. And when that happened, they took away his psych drugs and refused to give them back to him at any point during his 14-day incarceration. That caused his mental health crisis, and it caused him to actually be mentally disturbed to the point that he probably should not have been charged with any criminal offense. You've heard of the verdict of saying that people were criminally not responsible. You've also heard of people pleading not guilty by reason of insanity. Sergio was quite sick by the time the police officer was shot to death within 14 hours of his jail release. And I don't think that it was fair for Sergio to be charged with murder. Apparently, the state of Texas had some doubts about it itself. I'll tell you why. They offered Sergio a plea deal rather than to go to trial. I believe that they realized that they were culpable in this unnecessary murder of a police officer, if indeed Sergio is the person who shot him. If indeed Sergio shot the police officer, it was a result of a psychiatric crisis brought on by the state of Texas when they arrested a man with schizophrenia and refused to give him his medicine for 14 days. Now, we're expecting Sergio's brother to call in because Justin was in the house with Sergio when the police officer was shot, and he has eyewitness testimony. However, due to the fact that they're in a different time zone from me, they may have gotten the times of this show confused. In other words, my 3 p.m. Eastern is 2 p.m. Central. So I'm going to let you know that we do have two callers on the line, and maybe one of these is Justin, and maybe one of these is his dear mother, Olga, to whom we spoke about this matter the other day. So, Olga, are you on 0399?
Yes, maybe the other line is my son because he's calling up there, so I would prefer maybe you can get him first.
Okay. 6331, is that Justin?
Yes,
ma'am. I'm right here.
Oh, wonderful, Justin. I'm so glad you're able to join us.
Yes, ma'am.
And
I'm happy
Olga,
to be here.
I'm glad to have you on the phone as well. This is the family of Sergio. He's a young man who's been incarcerated for some years now, sentenced to 40 years incarceration for a crime that may have been committed while he was in the middle of a psychiatric crisis that was brought on by the system. which deprived him of his psychiatric drugs, which he needed for stability. And a police officer was dead within 14 hours of his jail arrest. I don't feel like that was fair. Do you, Justin?
No, ma'am, I don't either.
Right. Could you tell us whatever you feel comfortable telling us about the night the police officer died? And do you know the police officer's name? I hate to just keep calling him the dead police officer.
Yeah.
Do you know his name?
His name is Jesse Hamilton.
Officer Hamilton?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So go ahead and tell us whatever you feel comfortable telling us about the night Officer Hamilton died on your mother's front porch. You were a teenager, weren't you?
Yes, ma'am. I was 17 years old.
17 years old. Okay.
Yes,
well, I know that your brother came to your mother's house in a fit of passion. He was very sick that night, wasn't he, Justin?
Yes. We have seen him like that before, but this time was more like, more out of there than I have ever seen him before.
Was his face or head injured when you saw him? Did he have a black eye?
Yes, ma'am. He had a black eye and a bruised face.
I'm told that Sergio had been beaten by police shortly before they released him from jail. Did he tell you that police had brutalized him before they released him?
I was living with him at the time, so when he got home, I seen that on his face, and I asked him what happened, and he didn't tell me what happened. He just said, "What do you mean what happened?" So at the time, I didn't know he got beat up by a policeman.
Right. And by that time, he was too sick to really communicate well on what had happened to him, wasn't he?
Yes, ma'am.
So you were at his house when he got there and he was released?
Yes, ma'am, I was. I was taking care of his son.
Tell us what happened at Sergio's house where he lived with his wife and 9-month-old child. What happened when he got there?
Well, he got home and he looked all like he didn't know where he was at. So I asked him what happened because I seen a bruised face and a black eye. And he told me, "What do you mean what happened?" And right then and there, I already knew he was not all there mentally. So,
okay. So
he said, "Where's my baby?" And I said, "He's right there in the high chair." And he basically runs to his baby and he grabs his baby and he starts like on the verge of tears. And he gets up and he like kind of hurries up to me and he tells me, "What did you do to my baby?" And me not knowing what to do, I said, "I didn't do nothing. Why are you saying that?" And out of nowhere, he slaps me in the face. And I got mad and I clenched my fist. And he seen that I did that, and he just told me, "Don't do it. Just don't do it, Justin, don't do it." And I had to, like, calm down. And then, like, I think, like, 5 minutes or 10 minutes later, his baby mama came, and she seen him like that, so she called my mother, and then we ended up at my mother's house later on that day.
Okay, so after that, his baby's mother came home, and you end up at your mother's house later on that day. But did you hear Sergio arguing with his girlfriend at all?
Yes, ma'am. I don't recall about what, but I remember them kind of bickering at each other.
And then you and the girlfriend left, is that right?
Yes, ma'am, we both left to my mother's and the infant child, my nephew.
Okay. So your brother, Sergio, was he was in a mental health crisis.
he had been beaten. You could see that by looking at his face. And
yes, ma'am.
He first of all, was combative toward you. And then he also started arguing with his baby's mother, his girlfriend, when she came home. And you heard them arguing, but you're a teenager. You didn't much listen to what they were, their words were. But at some point, the argument between Sergio and the girlfriend got so heated that she decided to leave and go to her mother-in-law's house, Miss Olga, your mom. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, that's
and
right.
And so you and the girlfriend went to Miss Olga's house. And at what point did y'all call police?
It was the next morning because we had spent a night there.
It was the next morning when you called police?
Yes, ma'am.
And so what made you call police?
Well, I didn't know that my mother had called the police. I walked into the living room, and that's what my mother and my brother were there. And when I walked into the living room, I said, what's going on? And he told me, what do you mean what's going on? And he pointed the handgun in my face, and he told me to sit down.
So he pointed a handgun at you. Did you know that before you walked into the room or after, did you know that he pointed the same handgun at your mom?
No, ma'am.
Ms. Olga, did he point the handgun at you before or after he pointed it at your son, Justin?
I'm sorry, ma'am?
I said, did Sergio point the handgun at you before or after he had pointed it? At your
okay,
son, just
he pointed it at me before. What it is that he shows up there around. I can't remember. I got my mind, but anyway, all in all, I go first to call 911, and I had called MHMR first, and then I called 911, and I go and sit down, and that's when we're sitting there, and he pointed at me first. In other words, before Justin.
So. He pointed the handgun at his mother and his own teenage brother.
Yes.
Now, was your relationship with your brother, Sergio, was your relationship, Ms. Ola, with your son, Sergio, did y'all have a good relationship before he went into this psychiatric crisis?
Yes, ma'am. We had an okay relationship. The only problem that we had is we didn't know how to communicate with each other. But other than that, we all deeply loved each other, deep down inside, you know, like, but we just couldn't communicate with each other. We always argued.
Okay. Well, what about you, Ms. Olga? Would you say that you had a good relationship with your son, Sergio, when he wasn't experiencing a mental health crisis?
We had a good relationship. It was just that we didn't know how to talk to each other, like Justin says. Because, I mean, every day he would call me and we were all close. Justin looked up to him actually like a father and a role model to him because he's 8 years older than Justin. Justin was 17 and Sergio was 24, I think, at the time. Right, Buck?
24, 25, yeah.
Somewhere around there, yes. So we had a good relationship. It's just that was our problem in our family with me and my two kids. We would just talk and not let each other speak. And, you know, that's how it is in some families. But other than that, yes, we were very close and we got along. We would always get together and stuff.
Now, do you think your son's relationship with his lover, his common-law wife, was a good relationship other than when he had this mental health crisis?
Yeah, it was a good relationship.
Were they basically able to live together without fighting or calling the police?
Yes, ma'am. That was the first time they've ever called for the, supposedly it was for domestic because they were disputing. But they had never had any records of, you know, calling out a unit out there for domestic violence. They got along good, but, you know, of course, like every couple has their problems or whatever. But she had never seen him like that. She had been living with him for 3 years, like I stated in my story, and he was going to barber school, and he was doing good. You know, he was going to barber school and trying to do something with his life, living on their own, them two. And just that day when he got out of jail is when he got, he was angry. He was he just came out of the crisis from there without the meds, and so the depriving of the meds for the 14 days. Because he was with her for 3 years, and as if you see in the video, on the first video of 2006, when you see him with the police officers use excessive force on him, but and then when you see him speaking like 2 years later, you see him speaking well, because he was going to his MHMRs and taking his meds and going to barber school. So y'all can see that on the video of the beating.
Yes, and I thank you for sending that. Your son experienced a brutal beating by police in 2006 when he was walking down the street distraught after he learned that his father had died. And I felt so sorry for Sergio because he was obviously very traumatized, and police certainly added to that trauma when they beat him. And I believe that that beating that we witnessed on the video that's on YouTube, I believe that video also explains one of the reasons why Sergio was so afraid of the policeman he saw standing on your porch when he was in a psychiatric crisis. And, of course, the fact that they beat him before releasing him after his DUI charge does not make that situation any better. So your son had been beaten by police, brutally beaten twice that you know of, before he, in a psychiatric crisis, killed a police officer. Is that right, Justin? Do you know of any other times when your brother was accosted by police other than those two times?
That's right, but I do recall a minor incident where me and him were driving. Well, he was driving and I was with him. And we had got pulled over for a minor traffic ticket, and he began to get all nervous and scared, and like for no reason. So he, after that 06, he was always traumatized. So that's all I can say.
Well, and I'm very sorry about how Sergio was treated. As you know, I'm director of assistance to the incarcerated mentally ill, and we're gathering individuals such as yourselves who are experiencing extreme trauma because your loved ones were deprived of psychiatric medication. And we're taking this matter before the United Nations. Look online for AIMI, A-I-M-I, versus the USA. We are taking your brother's case before the United Nations and many other people who were deprived of psychiatric medication and treatment so they could experience a mental health crisis. And it's as though the system wants them to do a crime that will excuse their long-term incarceration. Does that make sense to you, Justin?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Very, very much it does. Thank you.
I think that people are deliberately being deprived of their psychiatric treatment in order for them to break the law. Because when mentally ill people, they are usually sentenced long-term in the nation's prisons and jails, and prison investors make money. So that's
right.
The situation in America. So your brother is now sentenced long-term. He has 40 years sentenced because he killed the police officer. Could you tell us, if you can remember, I know you were only a teenager, 17. Could you tell us as much as you remember about the night your brother and the police officer were facing each other, each one of them with a gun in his hand, pointing at the other? Could you tell us about what happened in your mother's house? I know that your mom left out of the house when your brother was, after he had put the gun to your head. Your mother left out to go meet the police officer and warn him that your brother had a gun now. because when the police had been called, they weren't told that he had a gun because your mom didn't know at the time that he had a gun. But when she found out the hard way that your brother had a gun, then she saw it as her duty to get out of the house and meet the police who were coming and let them know that her son was armed. And I think that that showed that she was interested in saving life, even saving the lives of police officers, that she risked her own safety to leave, even with a person who was completely irrational with a gun. She risked her own safety to turn her back on him and leave the house and left her teenage son there. I mean, she did a great and heroic, she did her best to try to save the police and save her family. She left out of there and left her grandbaby, a beautiful baby boy. She left her daughter-in-law, who came to her for help and support. And she left her sick son, Sergio, who she loves dearly with all her heart. And then she left her teenage son, Justin. And she walked out of that house not even knowing for sure if she could walk out of there alive because of the condition that Sergio was in. And she did that and risked her own life to go and meet the police and warn them, my son has a gun now. I think that you should have gotten a hero award, Ms. Olga, for your courage. But instead, police arrested you. I mean, they literally kept you in questioning for hours after that.
Yes.
They didn't let you see about your son, who Sergio, when the police got there, they shot him. And instead of you being at your son's side in the hospital, you were being interrogated like you were a criminal. I really want you to know I really regret how you were treated, Ms. Olga, because you were the hero of the night. You're the one who, I think, called the police in the first place. And not only that, but you left out of that situation despite the danger to yourself and others, and you went to warn the police. Listen, my son has a gun now. And what a horrible thing for a mom to have to do, but you care so much about innocent people being saved that you did that. Is that right, Ms. Olga?
Yes, ma'am, I did. I sure did. And that's what I'm saying. Yes, ma'am, I did.
I know that you did, and it's on the tape that you and I did together. And so while your mom had left, only you were left in the house, Justin, because the daughter-in-law and the baby left out also. They went to the laundromat after the situation with the police officer being shot. Now, when the police officer was shot, I believe, were you in the house by yourself with him then, Justin, or was his wife and baby in there with you? How was it when the shooting happened?
Oh, after the shooting, I was by myself.
No. I'm not going to after the shooting. I'm saying when Ms. Olga left, who all was left in the house with Sergio?
When my brother ran outside, it was me and his baby mama and my brother Sergio.
So all three of you were left in the house like I described.
Yes, ma'am.
You and your babies and your nephew's mother and your brother, all of you were in the house, and he's there, and he's psychotic because of his mental illness. And so go ahead and take it from there and tell us what happened. Were you afraid?
I was afraid, but at the same time, I didn't know what was really going on. I had just woke up. So when my mother went
confused.
Out. Yes, I was confused.
You were young, you were confused, and you really didn't feel the full gravity of the situation right then, did you?
Correct.
So go ahead and tell us what happened. Your mom left, and then what happened?
He looks outside the peephole of the mobile home, and then he starts looking all, like, nervous and paranoid, and he tells he told his wife, oh, are we going to go or not? We need to go. Let's go already. And she's like, okay, Sergio, let me just go see where your mom's at. And that's when she gets to run outside. And
so she said she needed to see where your mother, Miss Olga, went. And that's when she and the baby got out.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so she more or less pulled a little trick and got out
right.
of there.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that left only you with your aunt brother, didn't it?
Yes, it was just me and him.
Okay, go ahead.
So when she opened the door, though, I guess the door opened, and I hear a man's voice saying, he tells my brother, put your gun down. And because he was already drawn, he had already drew his gun when the door opened. And
so
my
after
brother,
that, did you hear about a knock on the door or what?
No, ma'am. After my brother's wife went outside, the door kind of opened, and that's when my brother backed up and he drew his gun while it was open.
Okay, so your brother saw the door open and he drew his gun. Where was his
yes,
gun
ma'am.
At the time he drew it? Where was it?
I believe in his pocket or in his hand, but he wasn't, like, pointing at anywhere. If it was in his hand, it was just, like, facing down.
Okay, so it was facing down.
Yes, ma'am.
And so it was in his hand, but it was facing down. But when he heard the door open, or when he saw the door open, that's when he pulled the gun.
Right, correct.
Up in shooting position.
Yes, ma'am.
And the officer was standing there with his gun pointing at your brother. Is that correct?
I couldn't see behind the door, so I couldn't say. That's on my mother. So maybe she can tell you.
Yes, I was with the officer. Yeah.
So you were with the officer on the other side of the door
uh-huh.
in the area where your son could not see you, your
yes,
son,
that's
who
right.
was talking to you, Justin. But you know that the officer also had his gun drawn.
Yes, because I went up with him.
From where you were beside of the police officer, could you see your son with the gun drawn?
My son, Sergio, yes. Yes, I could see.
So
they're
you could
both
see
just,
Sergio. You could see could both see. People with both guns drawn.
Yes, ma'am.
And then you saw blue light and you
yes.
heard the sound. And that's when you ducked, you ran. Is that
yes,
right?
Sir. To call 911 a second time.
Thank you, Ms. Olga. What happened, Justin, when you realized a shot had been fired?
Well, before the shot, they were pointing at each other, and the clip of my brother's pistol had fell to the floor. And when it had fell on the floor, my brother and his whole arm went down with it. He looked down to the floor. And then he jumped really quick, and he was back pointing to the officer, and that's when he shot.
So your brother's clip fell to the floor, and that's when he shot.
Yes, ma'am. And then
I don't really understand.
Jumped.
What is a clip? What is a clip?
Where it holds the ammunition.
So how could he shoot after it fell to the floor? You saying he
well,
bent
it,
down and put
it? He already had one in the chamber, obviously. So he already had it
popped. Okay. So the clip fell to the floor, and then he shot.
Yes, ma'am.
So then did you hear the police officer's body hit the porch?
Yes, ma'am, and at that time, my brother walked outside, and I had got up, and I looked outside, and that's when I seen the police officer, and I couldn't believe it. I didn't know what to do. I was, like, in shock. So I go to the to my room to look outside the window, because that's where you can see the driveway, and I didn't see anybody. So I kind of back off the window. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, what do I do? Because I'm alone, and then I hear my brother's voice again. He's like, he's talking to the cop. He's like, okay, you stay right here. I'll be right back. And then he backs off, and then he's talking to himself saying, where's Justin at? And that's when I pop out of the room, and I'm like, I'm right here, man. You know, just calm down, you know. And then he draws the gun on me again, and he tells me to shut up and sit down.
And so after he shot the police officer, he told you to shut up and sit down, or that was before?
Oh, that was afterwards, man.
So after he shot the police officer, he told you to shut up and sit down?
Yes, ma'am.
And then what happened?
He was back in the mobile home, and he kicked the front door open, and he went outside. Like he peeked his head first, and that's when they shot him, another police officer, I guess.
So when he kicked the door open after he told you to shut up and sit down, after he had shot the police officer, he stepped outside of the door, and then you heard another shot. How many shots did the police shoot at your brother? Do you know if it was more than one shot, or did it sound like just one shot?
It sounded just like one.
And that one shot may be the bullet that's in his head now. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
How did you feel, a teenage boy, watching this drama unfold?
I felt scared. I felt shocked. I couldn't believe it. I felt like it was a bad dream. And then seeing my brother laying down, bleeding from his head, I began to, you know, wonder what was going on. And, like, at that moment, I already knew everything was real. It wasn't a dream.
Everything was real. It was real. And I'm so sorry that this happened. And, you know, the whole affair was unnecessary. It was brought on by the Harris County Jail holding your brother incarcerated for 14 days, during which time he was deprived of his psychiatric medication that had been keeping him stable for 3 years since his last attack. You know, when he, in 2006, your brother had an attack of mental instability when he heard that his father died. And even then, he was not balanced, not like he was this time. And
right.
So he got beaten when the police saw him walking down the middle of the street, which was irrational and kind of suicidal, but he did not physically assault anyone. He got physically assaulted. In fact, he got arrested. But this time, he reacted very badly because of his lack of psychiatric drugs, which was done by Harris County Jail in Texas. And one of their own, officer, what did you say his name was? Officer
Jesse Hamilton.
Officer what?
Jesse Hamilton.
Officer Hamilton.
Yes.
Dad. And so now, as a result of that, your son Sergio has a 40-year sentence, and he has been incarcerated in Texas as a cop killer, incarcerated among jail guards who probably hate him because of the offense that he's in jail for. And he's being brutalized, I understand, according to his mother. Is that right, Ms. Olga?
Yes, ma'am, he has. And he still is.
And do they have him in a jail that's convenient for you and your family to visit with him often?
No, ma'am, no. And we just applied for a hardship, and they denied it. And now they had said you qualify. It was 300 miles. And from my understanding, seeing that now it says you don't qualify anymore for the 300 miles. Just as we speak, his classification changed to a G5, and that's the worst it can be. That's like the worst person you can be in prison. So it's gonna take another year to move him. And he's telling me now he just received another beating on the letter that I got on the 26th, that he got a rough beating by officers.
So again, he's still being brutalized.
Yes, and
one
tortured.
Of the first encounters as a young man, when he was, I think, 21, when he had mm-hmm. lost his father, one of his mm-hmm. first encounters with police officers was a brutal beating that we can see on YouTube. And then his second or a later encounter with police officers, he got arrested for DUI. And the next thing that happened was he was incarcerated for 14 days for the DUI. Would you tell us, please, again, Ms. Olga, how did you find out that your son was begging for his psychiatric drugs? Tell us how that happened. How did you find out?
Yes, ma'am. How I found out was afterwards. We got a letter from a lady who lives in Dallas, who had a loved one there incarcerated there. I mean, in jail with Sergio there in Harris County at 1200 Baker Street in Houston, Texas. One of the loved ones wrote to her to do a petition because they had seen that Sergio had been begging for the meds 2 weeks prior. Now, from my understanding, 2 weeks prior, a week before that, my daughter-in-law had gone to see him at the jail, and he told them that they were harassing him, that they were bullying him, and that they were harassing him. This was a week before the tragedy happened. Then the next week, after that, the 19 witnesses, that's when they wrote and said that he was begging for it, and instead of getting medication, they gave him another beating, and they feel that because of the them not giving him the meds and what he suffered in there, that it is a tragedy, but they feel that Sergio doesn't deserve this. Mind you, Ms. Hill.
Go ahead.
Mind you, I'm sorry, go ahead. I was going to say something, but go ahead.
No, I want to hear from you. Please,
yes.
Go ahead and tell us everything you think is pertinent to this situation.
Mind you, when I would go visit him, but this was the aftermath, they would always abuse him in front of me. One time they even abused him. Even in front of me, he had, you know, handcuffs in his back, and they literally picked him up and threw him to the floor. I went to Internal Affairs, and she said that there was nothing that can be done, that Sergio had to do it. But mind you, you're talking about a man that already has been beaten, brutalized, mentally, physically, verbally. He was too scared to put a complaint. So me, myself, also going for 2 years to visit him there was also retaliated every time I would go numerous times, and I'm still being retaliated because, like you said, they call Sergio the cop killer. Well, they call me the mother of the cop killer, and mind you, I did my part. I first called MHMR and I spoke to Lois there, okay, and the hotline, and then when the cop comes, I come out to tell him. I called dispatch inside before I even knew that Sergio had a gun. I didn't know Sergio had a gun. When the officer comes, then right away I automatically go outside to let him know he was armed now.
Well, I
but
think
yes,
you
thank
you
witness.
Did all that you could. Justin, give us some input on now that you're an adult and you look back on the circumstances, the things that transpired when your brother had his worst psychiatric crisis. Now looking back on it from an adult, can you see how the system should have operated differently? And do you also recall any instances when you felt that you were persecuted for being the brother of a so-called cop killer?
Yes, ma'am. Now that I'm an adult, it saddens me that people such as my brother have to go through things like that. It saddens me because, you know, some people are poor and they don't have high-dollar lawyers, and they get put to death just for a mental illness that they don't know about. So it saddens me, and it makes me sad, and at times it makes me mad also. But, you know, I can't really do nothing about it.
What about you? Have you at any point felt that you were targeted for persecution because you're the brother of a so-called cop killer?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I've been pulled over before, and they said, "Oh, you're Sergio's brother," and for no reason they did not have to say that, and they just bring it up and they give me a ticket. And like, I've been in, a couple of times where I've been that happened to me, or traffic tickets.
So, do the police officers? Is your area such a small town that they would know you on sight to say, "Oh, so you're Sergio's brother"? I mean, that's mm-hmm. not information that's written on your driver's license.
Right.
So how would they know that unless they had targeted you before they stopped you?
I don't know. I maybe because it was on the news and stuff like that, and I still live in the city where it happened. So.
And so it must be a small city. Is that right?
It's an outskirts city.
What is your approximate population there?
I do not know. I'll be lying if I made up a number.
I don't know, but I work for the transportation department, and it's 300 people that work in that department.
So it's not a pretty big town. If 300 people work in transportation, school transportation, then that's a pretty big town. How do you think that they can stop your son out of all the people in the world and say to your son, Justin, also you're Sergio's brother? I mean, how is it possible for people to know that just because, what, it's not written on his driver's license? It seems to me that he may have been stopped because they had already targeted him as being Sergio's brother. That's just how it appears to me.
Exactly. Justin, tell her about when they shot Sergio, and then the lady officer put a gun to you and they cursed you out, remember? Tell Ms. Neal of that.
Yeah, well, after that happened, I seen my brother laid out on the floor. So I put my hands out before I step out the mobile home because I don't want to get shot myself. And I was trying to explain to them that my brother is mentally ill, you know, and they told me to shut the F up, and they kind of like put me to the ground, and I was trying to move, and the lady said, "If you move again, I'll shoot you." And they kept telling me to shut the F up.
So they weren't interested in taking a statement from you at that time. One of their comrades was shot and laying on the porch, and you were trying to see about your brother, who was also shot. They wouldn't tolerate that, and also they wouldn't tolerate any words out of you, and you're just a young teenage boy, and you see your brother shot. You're obviously very distraught. You didn't know whether your brother would live or die. And rather than comforting you, they told you that if you didn't shut the F up, they'd shoot you too. Is that right?
Right. That is right.
Well, I'm so sorry that happened to you, Justin. And I'm glad that you have been able to live through this experience and to recognize that it's wrong for people with mental illness to be treated this way, pushed into a psychiatric crisis, and when they actually act on their hallucinations and their irrational impulses that were brought on by deprivation of psychiatric drugs, then it not only endangers them, but as we've seen so many times, it endangers their families, and it endangers the whole community. I suppose that you and your family are aware of mass murders done by people who were in psychiatric crisis. For instance, right there in Santa Barbara, a young man, Elliot Roger, went into a psychiatric crisis and killed 6 people. Are you aware of that?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
And so, you know, for people to deliberately push people with psychiatric diseases, mental diseases, into a state of crisis by depriving them of their drugs, like they did to Sergio, for 14 days, and then beating them viciously in the head, and then releasing them in that state, it almost seems as though the police were expecting and hoping that Sergio would give them an excuse to re-arrest him. It's like he was set up. And, yeah. And I hate to say that, but it seems that way. How does it seem to you, Miss Sergio's mom?
To me, it was planned. It was premeditated, yes, from now that I'm seeing everything and what I'm still observing and going through right now, it was already planned. From the 2006, right after that, they kept got that ticket, and then here we go, and that's what it was. It seems like they, in other words, they're the ones that really shot the officer, and they're the ones that shot my son. He didn't die, but he would have. They pressured him, but what I'm saying really is like they planned it. They planned everything. Saying it better, maybe, Ms. Neal, since you're more familiar on how to put words together.
Well, it's as though, as you said, I think you did very well telling what happened, that you believe it was a setup. It was premeditated that if we mistreat this young man, who we already know is a psychiatric patient, who we've already deprived of his meds for 14 days and 14 nights, who we know is already very upset and on edge, if we further antagonize him by beating him in his present condition, and he doesn't have any way of escape or any way to strike back, if we do that to him, we will push him over the edge into a deep psychiatric crisis, and then we'll let him go, and then we'll have him back before the day is over. And Harris County police officers got their wish, but I don't think they actually expected one of their own, the victim. I believe that they would, you know, they set him up that he would kill, say, his girlfriend, or even his own little baby, or his sweet brother who he loved, or even his mother, because he pulled a gun on you and your son, Justin. So if it had been one of you, I don't think it would have been a big deal to the officers who set this up. But it was not one of you. Instead, it was Officer Hamilton. And I think that both your family and Officer Hamilton's family should be compensated from Harris County Police Department for their deprivation of Sergio's important psychiatric drugs during his incarceration and for his beating that further traumatized him. I think that both you and the family of Officer Hamilton, who died, should be compensated by the parties who were singularly responsible for what happened. The thing is that according to new laws that have been around now for a number of years, but they weren't always around, when a person drinks too much at a bar or even at a house party and they go out, leave their stumbling drunk, and go down the street and have a fatal accident and kill themselves or kill other innocent people, did you know that the bar where they left or the house party where they left can be held responsible for allowing them to drive away in that condition? Did
That's
you know
right,
that?
Yes, I did.
So by the same token, I believe that jails that release people in psychiatric crisis, like Harris County Jail did to your son, Sergio, let him leave there in a psychiatric crisis that they had created by withholding his drugs and then by topping it off with a beating, they should be held responsible to the same degree that people who give house parties or bars are held responsible for people who leave there in no shape to drive down the street and have a wreck and kill a car full of people. I think that, in fact, it is Harris County Jail that's responsible for the death of the officer. And I also think that the gunshot that sold your son, who had a history of mental illness, a legal weapon, is also responsible. Could you tell us a little bit about that gunshot shop that sold Sergio the gun?
Yes, ma'am. It was Academy, like I was saying, on Spencer Highway there in Pasadena where we live.
The name of it was
at.
Academy?
Yes,
what
Academy.
What was the name of that shop?
Yes. Academy, A-C-A-D-E-M-Y, Sporting, S-P-O-R-T-I-N-G, Goods Store, Sporting Goods Store.
Academy Sporting Goods Store. So your son went into Academy Sporting Goods Store, and he saw a gun he wanted to buy, and he bought that gun, even though your husband at the time was surprised that they sold him a gun because he had a bona fide, certified, recorded history of mental illness when he bought the gun. Is that right?
That's right, ma'am. Exactly.
What do you think about that, Justin? Do you think that the sporting goods store, Academy Sporting Goods Store, should not have sold your brother, who had a history of schizophrenia, a gun? Do you think that was wrong?
Yes, ma'am, that was wrong. That's it's like a lack of structure. It's a lack of people not doing what they have to do.
So but now I know why they sold it.
Why?
Because, like I said, that now I know why they let him have it. Because they wanted this sick man to have a gun. Because he had already been mentally and physically and verbally abused, and they left him like that. They knew he was going to kill somebody. But like you say, Ms. Neal, they figured he was going to kill me. He was going to kill Justin. But like I said, like I told the mother, only the Lord knows. It took that man's life, one of their own, like you say. Mind you, Sergio Robles was raised by a police officer. You know what I'm saying? That's why they let him have the gun, because they knew he was going to kill, and they wanted him to kill us.
So you think that the Academy Sporting Goods Store had premeditated motives about selling Sergio a gun?
No, they knew. I
think that the Academy Sporting Goods Store was just trying to make a sale, make money. And I think that they did not go through proper protocol to check and see whether Sergio was someone who was legally able to buy a gun. And therefore, they're also culpable for his misusing that gun. Now, you told me that Academy, a sporting goods store, has been sold now. Is that right, or did it just change its name?
No, there's still Academy Store, but it's not there in that location no more on Spencer Highway. Now it's on Fairmont, on the side of the Beltway 8 where I reside. I reside in the Beltway 8, and it's further down. If Academy wouldn't have done that, you might be right on that. You know, this is not facts that I'm saying about that they sold it for that. This is just hearsay, but what you're saying, it might be either way, but if they wouldn't have sold him the gun, if Harris County wouldn't have deprived him of his meds, Officer Jesse Hamilton would be alive today, and Sergio would have his normal life with his son also, and Mr. Hamilton with his children also. And the sad thing that saddens me, Ms. Neal, is that I was not asking for special treatment at the Harris County. It's sad to say how corrupted the system is. Adrian Garcia, which was the sheriff of Harris County, was the best man to my ex-husband's our wedding. He knew my son growing up. My son used to do toy drives with Adrian Garcia. My son, even as a teenager, used to charge up for security because they used to go and do security jobs. He used to even do that. And Adrian Garcia, I was not asking. All I was asking to tell his deputies to leave my son alone. And they continued. And it's still happening, Ms. Neal. You know, and that's the thing. The assistant, Catherine Scardino, even wrote Mr. Garcia a letter, a certified, to please place him in a medical unit. Remember I was telling you about the trach and the diaper and the, remember?
And they released son from prison 2 weeks after he was shot in the head during this incident. And he was released in a diaper with a trach tube in his throat. And he's lost sight in one eye, and he's got permanent physical handicaps because of being shot in the head and the beating that he received before leaving jail. I understand that, and right now we're trying to establish fault. Who's at fault when the system has let down the whole family? The system certainly let down this American with disabilities. The system let down Officer Hamilton and his family by putting them in the position to lose his life trying to help a family, help save a family from someone in mental health crisis. The system has let down your family by even selling. Let me ask you, did you ever tell police where your son got the gun?
Yes, we did. They took us to his apartment. Remember, Justin? Now I remember. They drove us to Sergio's apartment. We even gave him the everything, his pills, the medication, and they took us to.
After we got interrogated, they wanted proof about the Academy Sporting Goods gun. And the proof of his medication, and that's what we did. We let him. We had nothing to hide, and we showed him everything.
That's right.
So you showed them the receipt where he had bought the gun legally.
Yes, and I have the receipt.
Who has that gun now? Do you have it, Ms. Dina?
No, look, I tried to retrieve his property and his gun because I have receipts now of it the next day after he was sentenced. But see, maybe we can go and talk of the aftermath of that. But I went to get the retrieve, and the officer, the chief of police of Pasadena, Chief Tyler, he told me that the mother had the gun. That's what he told me. Because I said, well, I'm here to pick... Jesse Hamilton's mother. That's what Chief Fowler told me, that she's the one who had the gun. I don't think the mother would want to have a gun.
Excuse me, please, Ms. Ogle. So the chief of police of Pasadena Police Department told you that the mother of the victim, the murder victim, Officer Hamilton, his mother has your son's gun that was used, apparently used, to kill her son. So who gave the gun to the murder victim's mother? How would she get it?
That's what the chief told me, that she had it. I called Court District 177, which was Kevin Fine, the judge that was where my son was in court at. And I was trying to, because they had told me they had his property. They were giving me the runaround. They didn't think I had power of attorney, but I have power of attorney. So eventually they told me that Harris County, the courts, had my son's property. Well, I called up there, and the lady said, no, they're the ones that had it. They were back and forth at who had it. All in all, they gave me some of the property, but they did not give me the gun and other things also that they didn't give me of my son. But the gun, supposedly the mother has it. the mother. And I told one of someone
that
the
victim, Mr. Hamilton. So Mrs.
Yes.
Hamilton, the mother of Officer Hamilton, as far as you know, because you were told by the chief of police
mm-hmm.
of Pasadena Police Department that the gun was given to the murder victim's mother. Is that right?
Yes, Glenda Hamilton is the mother's name, and the chief of police is, his name is Chief Tyler. And I think he's still the chief now. When I got arrested, October 11th, I think he's still there, but I also got arrested.
Now, both you and your son, Justin, have been arrested since your son, the so-called cop killer, was arrested. Is that right? And neither of you feel that your arrest was warranted, do you?
Of course not. And I went the other day to go try to get, because they arrested me, and they gave me supposedly disorderly conduct. The attorney who had gone with me, his name is Greg Martinez. I went to his office because he never gave me anything saying that they had dismissed my charges. So yesterday I went to...
But he told you your charges are dismissed. Is that right?
Yes. Him and Richard Parker...
Mr. Martinez, Esquire, excuse me, the attorney who defended you, whose name is Martinez, Esquire, told you that your disorderly conduct charges have been dismissed, but... You don't have anything from that county saying that your charges have been dismissed, and neither would your attorney put it in writing that the charges
That's right.
were dismissed. Is that the situation?
That's right. And I made the check out to Richard Parker. I guess that's his assistant, or they both work together. And when that day when we came out, he told me, well, what do you want to do? And that's when I told him, what I want you to do, sir, is to take these charges away from me, because I did not do that. And he said, well, I don't know, you know. I said, look, sir, let me tell you, first of all, they retaliate me. They had just put Justin in jail 2 days before that, and then I have records of that. They had put him in jail, gave him tickets or put him in jail, and then they did this to me. And I told Rick, this man said, aren't you gonna pay me? And I said, I already paid you. Greg Martinez told me to make the check out to him, to Richard Parker. Richard Parker was the one that went and talked to the prosecutor and all that. But Mary, with my mind with so much that I've been going through and stuff, this Mr. Martinez, I know he even gave me a ride home to my manager's where I lived out there where the tragedy happened at 410 Bob Street, the manager there. She knows him, so she's the one that recommended me him. So he gave me a ride to her house. Well, the next day I went to ask for the dismissal charges, and the son said, well, my dad's not here, and I don't know when he's coming back. So I waited a while, and then I called, and they didn't respond. So yesterday, 2 days ago, I went with two witnesses with me, and he said, okay, well, give me the case number. Remember I gave you a case number? Well, I gave it to him also. And he calls me later that day, and he tells me that, that I can go later or whatever. He didn't call me back. No, he didn't call me back, so I after work, I told my husband to take me. So me and my husband go, and he tells me that... I told him, I said, yes, sir, can you tell me, you know, because your dad was supposed to. He said, no, well, it's showing in the computer that they're not, that there's nothing on there. I said, okay, well, if there's nothing on you, can you give me that? You're saying that there's, what do you mean? I don't understand. He said, well, it's not showing anything. I said, well, okay, well, then give me something showing that it's not showing, or tell your dad to write something in writing, because remember, he was my witness. He even gave me a ride home. Why is it so hard for him to write something? He said, well,
so
he's not going to do that.
You were arrested a few days after your son was charged for killing the police officer, or what's the time frame here?
No. This was just barely when I was trying to get my son moved closer in October the 5th.
I need to know a date, please. What year were you arrested?
2014.
So
13, 2013.
This year you got arrested.
Yes, ma'am. This year, 14.
And you were arrested for basically what you could tell, you consider it no reason. You were in the library
and and you were using the computer, and police walked in and said they wanted you outside, and they arrested you basically for no reason, and you feel like it was retaliation again because your son Justin, I mean your son Sergio is known as the cop killer. And you got harassed and arrested for basically no reason. And when you went to court, at some point, your lawyer told you that those charges had been dismissed. But he won't put it in writing that the charges were dismissed. And you're not able to get it from the court either that it was dismissed. Have you asked the court to give you how your case ended up? Did you ask the court for an order of dismissal?
Well, this just happened yesterday, the 28th, Mary, and I mean, we're the weekend and we don't go back until Tuesday. When I asked him, I wanted to write my name and put my case number on his paperwork, he didn't want me to do that. He didn't want me to do that.
As far as you know, you were harassed, you were victimized because you're the mother of the so-called cop killer. You were arrested for basically no good reason that you can see. And as far as you know, because your lawyer told you the charges have been dismissed, but nobody wants to put it in writing for you that the charges have been dismissed. It's almost as though they want to have a reason to have a warrant for you so they can pick you up anytime they get ready, anytime you offend them, anytime you do something like use your free speech to go on radio and talk about your son, Sergio. It's almost as though they want to have an excuse to have a warrant for you saying that you have these charges when your lawyer has told you but won't put it in writing that the charges have been dismissed. Is that right?
Yes, and now he's stating that case number. I said, okay, well, what comes out? You're saying that it's dismissed, okay. I said, well, so what does it show on this case number that I have? And he says that it's showing somebody else's name. I said, okay, well, can you print that out for me and give me that? He said, I can't do that. That's what he told me. He couldn't do that. I wonder why. I don't understand.
Exactly. Okay, well, we're getting down to the last couple of minutes of today's show, and I so much appreciate you and your son, Justin, coming forward to tell us about what is happening and what has happened regarding your son, Sergio's case. Right now, you let us know that your son, Sergio, claims that he's still being brutalized behind bars as the cop killer. He's over 300 miles from you, and you would like for him to be moved closer so you can visit him. And he's been charged on the fifth level, which means that he will not be eligible to be moved close to you for a year. You're steadily being targeted. And also, we're having these situations happen to other mentally ill people simply because it increases prison profits. Mr. Justin, Ms. Ola, say goodbye to the audience, and I look forward to you coming back to explain more what happened in your case.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and God bless everybody and keep everybody in prayer. And thank you, Ms. Neal, for hoping and praying that there will be laws and that we can go to Congress to make a law and for the law to be called Jesse's Law. And with that law, then my son, however the Lord is going to do it, but we need laws for the mentally ill. And
I agree with you. Go ahead, Justin. Give us your last words on the matter.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to thank God, and I want to tell my mom that I appreciate her trying and doing what she has to do for my brother. And I just want to thank you too, Ms. Neal, for hearing our voice, because we do need to be heard just like everyone else do.
Yes. Ms. Neal, also I want to say that I always told my kids to always say the truth, and I love my boys, and And I'm going to fight just like anybody else would fight for their loved one. If it was, it would happen to their loved one, they would be doing the same thing. And I've always told them, you play, you pay. But I know that my son didn't kill his officer wanting to willingly. And that's why I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight in the name of Jesus. Thank you very much, audience, for hearing us, to know the truth of what really happened to Jesse Hamilton. And God bless the mother, too. Thank you, Ms. Neal.
Well, thank you, Ms. Ola. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, radio audience, for listening to A Family in Mental Health Crisis. I want you to look online for Tim Murphy's bill, H.R. 3717, Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act. We need that act to pass, Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act. Next Saturday, we'll have our first meeting of claimants on the assistance to the incarcerated mentally ill versus the USA and international court regarding the mistreatment of mentally ill people in America. Look that up online. That's Amy versus USA and international court. We're going to have to take it there because it's hard for families of the mentally ill to get justice in the United States because most of our decision makers seem to be prison investors. So I want to thank you again for joining us this beautiful Saturday afternoon. Pray for families in mental health crisis and other people who suffer from injustice with me tomorrow night on Mary Loves Justice Prayer Meeting. That's at midnight on National Network in Action. Pray with me for justice in America on the Mary Loves Justice Prayer Meeting at 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Thank you for joining us. God bless you and goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Mm-hmm.